Hi, my name is Cassidy, and I'm a member here at H2O. I'm going to be reading the scripture for us today. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Turn your Bible and that's all right. It says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength of God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen."
Thanks, Cassidy. Good morning, everybody. My name's Kyle. I'm one of the pastors here at H2O Church. I hope you guys have had a good week. Obviously, if this is your first semester in Buffalo, you got to experience just a taste of that Buffalo winter at the beginning of this week, you know? So we saw that take a sharp turn. And if that is your first experience with the Buffalo winter, I just want you to know it's going to get a lot worse. And so if you are nervous about that experience, you know, hey, just buckle up for the rest of the winter. I love the snow. I've learned to love the snow, and I advise that you learn to love the snow, or it will absolutely eat you alive here. So, you know, just some advice there. So we're on the home stretch of the semester, and with that, we're kind of on the home stretch of our sermon series called Extraordinary. We've been going through this the whole semester long. I love this series because I'm wired in a very practical way. For me, it kind of helps to see the ideal when it comes to how I should be living and the ways in which my life as a disciple of Jesus should be extraordinary, because it helps me diagnose ways in which I can grow in my love for God. So last week, Aaron, he talked about the idea of extraordinary unity and how for Christians, we should just be people with an extraordinary amount of peace and unity with other people, especially other brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that's absolutely vital. This week, we're talking about the idea of extraordinary stewardship. Extraordinary stewardship, that's the topic for today. So this is the idea that just as it says here in 1 Peter, whatever we have been given should be used for the Lord. Whatever we have, whether that be our time, our talent, or our treasure, has been given to us by God and ought to be used for his glory to whatever extent we're able to steward it in that direction, okay? And so that's what we're talking about today. I want to start with a definition of stewardship so that we're on the same page. And the definition that I found, Merriam-Webster, thank you very much, is the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Okay, the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. So that's what we're talking about today. The disciple of Jesus should be a person who's an extraordinary steward of whatever God has given them, whatever God has entrusted to them. Now, I know, and I just want to kind of start here, I know that because of the crowd I'm talking to, which is mostly college students, or at least people in that age range, it can be pretty easy to, right from the start, kind of check out from a topic like this, because I'm talking to a room full of people with limited resources in every direction. Okay, I'm talking to people with limited time, limited money, limited belongings, and there's a tension right there from the start, because it can be easy to feel like you don't have much to give. Okay, it can be easy to feel like you don't have much to give, and when you don't have as much to give, the temptation to think it, is to think that this topic doesn't apply to you. Okay, and so I want to start by asking you just to consider as we're talking today. To not think about what you don't have, but what you do have, okay? To not think about what you don't have, but what you do have. There's a passage in Mark 12 that talks about this story and Jesus. It says this: Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came in and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of all their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." Okay, you may be familiar with this story if you've grown up in church for any amount of time, or if you've been to church for any amount of time. It's an inspiring story. This poor widow, they so believed in the Lord that she gave whatever it is that she had to her temple. Okay, she didn't give out of her excess. She didn't give because she had an abundance. She felt the need to be generous even out of her poverty. And so I would love to just lay that before you guys as we're talking today to just consider, what do you have? Not what don't you have, but what do you have that you can offer to the Lord? What do you have that you can use for God's glory? This mindset is really vital if we're going to talk about stewardship today. Because unfortunately, the world has taught us to compare. We see other people with lots of resources and think that they should be the one to use it for God's glory. But unfortunately for us, when we think that, that's not what the Bible teaches. Okay, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us to see whatever's in our own pockets, whatever gifts God has given us, whatever treasures, resources, energy, and time we have, and to use that for God's glory, whether that's big or small. Okay, the Lord isn't so concerned with how much you have, but he's very concerned with whether or not you'll use what you have for him. Okay, I'll say it again. He isn't so concerned with how much you have, but he's very concerned with whether or not you'll use what you have for him. And so today we're going to talk about two biblical principles that I think really will guide us as it pertains to stewardship. These are things that I really think if we believe these two things and commit to them, I strongly believe that we will be extraordinary stewards of whatever God has given us. I mean, if you actually believe these two things, I think that they will massively impact how you live your life and how you steward whatever God has given you. So here's the first one. Everything belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. 1 Chronicles 29:11 through 14. I love this chapter or this passage. This is David speaking. "Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand." This idea is really challenging to actually believe. It's really, really challenging to actually believe. If I can be honest, it's something that, at least for me, rarely feels like it's true. Okay, when I'm like spending my money or stewarding whatever God has given me, I rarely think that I'm spending God's money. Okay, I rarely think that way. When I'm spending my time doing this or that, it doesn't really feel like I'm spending precious resources that God has given to me to steward. It just feels like it's mine. Mine to do with what I please. Now, maybe that's overthinking it, right? Maybe I don't need to pray and ask God if it's okay for me to buy a Chipotle burrito for lunch, all right? But if I never consider God and how I steward whatever he's given me, I really think that I'm lacking in this area. If I never consider God and how I steward whatever he's given me, I think I'm lacking in this area. And that's the challenge. Okay, we live in a highly individualistic and self-focused society. I mean, I really think it's ingrained in us from early on to essentially to build our own kingdom, right? Where do I want to work? What do I want to do with my life? Where do I want to live? What do I want to own? It's all about what we want. We're conditioned that way. And as a result, I really think it takes some real effort and intentionality to even start to think about our time, talents, and treasures as things that actually don't belong to us, but to God. It takes a lot of effort to think that way, a lot of intentionality to shift our mindset, because the world around us doesn't think that way. So let me give you guys an example. This is my backpack, all right? It's got a lot of stuff in it, okay? I've got, my fellow mug here. I love this mug. This is where I put all my coffee in. I've got some scissors in here. Got in trouble at the airport for that this week. got a journal, a Bible in here. Some lip balm is in there. All kinds of stuff in here. But let's say that I forgot my backpack at church this week. And so I realized it as I'm driving home. And I call up, Ethan or someone like that and just say, hey, man, I left my backpack at church. Would you grab it for me and bring it to Life Group on Tuesday? Right? And, he's a nice dude. He'd take it with him. And then, now for the next couple of days, he'd probably feel some sense of responsibility to take care of my stuff, right? Like, he's not just going to leave it around somewhere where someone else can take it. He'd feel some sense of responsibility, like it's in his care now. And I don't think that I doubt he'd really rummage through my things, and start using the things in there at all. But let's say, we're like super tight, super close, and he trusts me and he knows that I trust him. And so he's like, he knows me well enough to feel like, hey, I can use some of those things in there. And that's no problem. As long as he uses those things in a manner he knows that I'd feel okay about. Right? And so, but what he wouldn't do, and I feel like I know Ethan well enough to say this, is use my stuff as though it's his. Okay? He's not going to use my stuff as though it's his. He's not going to get in there, pull out my lip balm and start smearing it on his lips. All right? He's not going to use my journal like it's his and just start, writing about, his feelings or his prayers to the Lord in my own journal. He's not going to leave his own garbage in my backpack, stuff like that. He's not going to take my stuff out without putting it back, all that stuff. He's responsible for it, but it doesn't belong to him. Okay? And for the Christian, this is true of everything that we have. It's really hard for us to think that way, but it's true. All of our time, our gifts, our treasure, our energy, it's all something that's been given to us by God to steward. Okay, we're responsible for it, but it doesn't really belong to us. And just like my example with the backpack, there's probably some things that, hey, if we know God well enough, we probably don't, and we understand his heart, we probably don't need to like ask permission on, right? Like Ethan don't need to call me up and ask if he can use one of my pens. it's like, hey man, I really do not care that much. It's cool. Just take the pen out, use it, whatever. But then there are a lot of other things that I really just think if we are followers of Christ, we should really consider God in and maybe even consult him on. Okay, consider and consult. So here are some examples. Some things when we're thinking about stewardship, we should consider God in. These are things that it's not necessarily sinful or wise by default, right? They require some principles, maybe some discernment. You might pray about these things, but you also might not, right? You might just discern a godly decision based on what you know about the Lord, based on what you've read in the scriptures. So some examples might be like how you allocate your free time, right? Like there's lots of godly ways to allocate your free time. There's lots of ways that you can utilize that for God's glory. You probably don't need to pray about whether or not you use it in all kinds of different ways, right? You might, but you probably don't need to, especially if you already have some godly principles in place that you're thinking about. Or like choosing an apartment to live in or who to live with. Like you might pray about that, but also it's like, hey man, it's pretty low stakes. It's like a year long, that you'll live with this person, live in this place. It might be like, oh, I'd really love to live near other people that, are following the Lord, but maybe not. I don't know. It's kind of, the Lord gives us some discernment there. Decisions about certain purchases. Maybe you're, upgrading your laptop or buying a pet or something like that. Like you might have some godly principles in place, but you might not need to like come and beseech the Lord for an extended period of time over some of these decisions. So you might consider God in some of those things. And then there's some other things where if we're going to be good stewards, we really should consult God on. Okay. And these are spiritually significant choices with I think a long-term impact and deep heart implications. So these are things that I would just advise like, hey, you should stop and pray before making a definitive decision. These are things like calling and direction in your life. You know, your career. I think that we should all be people that are praying about what career we are going to go into. Major relational commitments, things like dating and marriage or even a breakup. Probably should pray about some of those things. Huge financial decisions, spiritual leadership decisions. If you're going to start like a ministry or a Bible study with some people, you might want to pray about that. Anything where you feel some internal red flags or discomfort, like, hey, maybe the Spirit is just stopping you, wants to stop you from moving forward with those things and is cautioning you, like, yeah, you should consider and consult God on that. All right, so everything belongs to God. We should act like that's true. Sometimes that doesn't require significant change in our actions, right? If it's a pretty insignificant choice, like I probably don't need to pray about whether or not I need to get gasoline, okay, for example. But other times we should really consider with godly principles how to steward what God has given us. And then sometimes we need to stop and consult God before we steward our time, talent, and treasure. Everything belongs to God. And we as his people should act like it. So that's the first principle. Everything belongs to God. The second one is this. Christ died for us, so we live for him. Okay? This is also foundational to being an extraordinary steward. And it's similar to the last one in some ways. But I really think this plays at the heart of stewardship. Christ died for us, so we live for him. This is from 2 Corinthians 5:15. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Okay, this is the heart of a disciple. You know, we don't leverage in our lives and steward everything in our lives merely because we're supposed to. We don't do it to make God love us, okay? We don't do it to impress other people. We live our lives as a living sacrifice to the Lord, letting him own all of it because Christ was a living sacrifice for us. All right? Christ, he came and lived the perfect life here on earth. He died and paid the penalty for our sins and was resurrected 3 days later. And if we have faith in him, his perfection is imputed to us and we are brought near to God. And when that happens, he replaces our heart of stone with a heart of flesh. The Bible says that he raises us from death to life. And as a result, the believer in Jesus lives their life for Christ now. They don't live for themselves. They live for Christ now. No longer for themselves, but for him. Not begrudgingly, not because, oh, I have to do this, but joyfully. Right? We love because he first loved us. And so when we're thinking about the idea of stewarding whatever God has given us for his glory, it's not merely because we ought to, but because we should want to. Okay, we love God so much that we want to give everything for him who gave everything for us. Christ died for us, so we live for him. Christ loved us, so we love him back. And one of the ways we do that is by stewarding everything he's given us, our time, our talent, and our treasure for his glory. And so if we're going to live for Christ and not for ourselves, if we want to be people that steward all that God has given us for his glory, this is what we do. And here's a way I'd like to frame that for you guys. We make eternal investments, okay? We make eternal investments. This is from Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. It says this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Okay, Jesus advises us not to store up treasures on earth, but in heaven. That's his advice, that's his counsel. But here's what's funny about that. The first sentence here has me thinking that this is just about money and belongings. Okay, moths and vermin, they can destroy physical things. Thieves can break in and steal physical things. Right? But when we keep reading, you see it's bigger than that because he tells us to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. But, I mean, think about that for a second. I can't deposit my money into some kind of heaven 401k, right? It's like, I don't get the option to just say, I'm not going to spend my money over here. I'm going to deposit in my heaven bank for later or something like that. And so we see that this can't be just about money, right? That can't be all of what he's talking about. He's talking about stewardship. Whatever we have, whatever we've been given, that might be money, but it might be a lot of other things too, we invest it in the kingdom. We store up heavenly treasure, not earthly treasure. Here are some examples of what it looks like to make eternal investments, okay? When you invest in other people's salvation, okay, by praying regularly for somebody that maybe doesn't know him, or sharing the message of Jesus with somebody, or inviting somebody to church or Bible study, okay, when you invest in other people's salvation, that's an eternal investment, okay? You can put that in the bank. When you invest in spiritual formation, either yours or others, right, by being in the Word, or growing in godly character, or mentoring or discipling somebody, that's an eternal investment, not an earthly one. You can put that in the bank. When you're generous towards others at a cost to yourself, by giving towards kingdom work or ministries, by supporting somebody and going on a missions trip, by sponsoring a child in poverty, or by helping the poor, that's an eternal investment. Go ahead and bank it. When you do an act of love in Jesus' name by encouraging somebody who's struggling, but by serving someone with no expectation of return, but by forgiving somebody or by loving a difficult person, that's an eternal investment, okay? You can put it in the bank. When you use your time wisely for God's purposes, right? By serving in your church, by giving up a night to somebody that is in a crisis situation, by using your summer for missions or ministry, or by practicing a weekly Sabbath to be with Jesus, that is an eternal investment. Go ahead and bank it. And then when you sacrifice for the sake of the gospel, by giving up your comfort and convenience, by finding a job near a place that needs more gospel presence, by spending some time after you graduate to share the gospel overseas, or by taking a lower paying job for the sake of his kingdom, you can bank that. That's an eternal investment, not an earthly one. This kind of life, a life that's always seeking to make God the rightful king over everything we have, that kind of life is confusing to the world, okay? It doesn't make sense. Why would you do that? You only have one life. It's puzzling and confusing, and to the world, it seems like a waste. It seems like a waste. And so I'm going to end by sharing a story of a man named William Borden. Maybe you've heard of him before, maybe not. He's a man that lived in from 1887 to 1913, so he did not live for very long, but he was the heir to the Borden Dairy fortune. He's a young man with a lot of wealth, a lot of opportunity, and a lot of influence. And on his 16th birthday, his parents sent him on a year-long trip around the world, really to just see how others lived. But as he traveled through Asia and the Middle East and Africa, he saw the deep spiritual need of the nations. God awakened something inside of him. And by the time he returned home, he wrote two words on the back of his Bible: no reserves, meaning I will hold nothing back from God. He went to Yale, where he started a prayer movement with a handful of other students. And by the time he graduated, 1,300 Yale students were meeting weekly for prayer and discussing how to reach their campus for Christ. Then when he graduated, he made a strange and confusing decision. He walked away from his family fortune to become a missionary. His friends thought he was foolish and unwise, wasting his potential. After seminary, he sailed to China to reach a Muslim people group who had never heard the gospel. But while passing through Egypt to study Arabic, he contracted spinal meningitis. Within a month, he died. He was 25. Newspapers around the world reported on the wasted life of this wealthy young man who gave everything away. On his Bible, shortly before he died, he wrote two more words, "No regrets." On his grave, you can read, "Apart from faith in Christ, there is no explanation for such a life." Jim Elliott, he's another missionary who also gave his life for Christ, died giving his life away for Jesus. He wrote something else that seems fitting here. "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. The life of a disciple is puzzling in many ways. It should be extraordinary and puzzling to the world around us. Few ways are more puzzling than a disciple leveraging and stewarding their life in whatever God has given them for him and for his glory. I want to live a life like that. I want to live a life like that. I want to live a life where people around me are confused as to why it doesn't seem like I'm leaving much in reserve for me, but instead that I really act like God owns everything. God owns everything. And that I'm living for Christ and not for myself. And so I think an appropriate question to ask ourselves is this: if someone were to follow you around for a week, would they think that? Would they think that? Would your life be filled with extraordinary stewardship? Would they wonder why it doesn't seem like you think anything is your own? Would they wonder why you aren't leaving anything in reserve, anything for yourself? Would they wonder why it seems like everything you do is through the lens of stewarding what God has given you instead of doing whatever you want? I'm going to guess that there is not very many people in this room that would say yes. And so this is the challenge. We ought to be a people that are extraordinary stewards of whatever God has given us. And my prayer is that we would fall more and more in love with Jesus, and that the obvious thing to do as we fall more in love with him is to do exactly that, to become extraordinary stewards of whatever God has given us. Let's pray. God, Lord, I just confess that this is hard. Hard for me, I'm gonna guess hard for everybody in this room. It's so easy to act like whatever we have is ours. Whatever we have is ours and not yours. And so God, I just pray that you'd help us to take those kinds of thoughts captive and to really live like everything we have, everything we've been given, whether our resources, whether our time, our talents, our treasures, all of that, God, I just ask that you'd help us to strongly believe and consider those to be yours and not our own. And Lord, may we be people that leverage our lives for you and steward everything that we have for you. God, we love you, and we thank you for being so kind to us, being a good father to us, and we pray all this in your name. Amen.